Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-in. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Falcons Saints this weekend, and while Saints QB Derek Carr, he's playing in his second game since returning from injury. The receivers he's going to be throwing to, it's not really clear, right? So Chris Olave, we don't know how long he'll be sidelined or if he will return at all. He suffered his second concussion of the season last week in Carolina. And his other deep option, Rashid Shaheed, is on IR. And then A.T. Perry was cut and picked up by the Broncos. So there's a lot of movement there.
Bub
when it comes
Means
to,
might be injured Bub as Means, well. Yeah.
Whew. He's on injured reserve. And then reserve receiver Cedric Wilson, he hasn't practiced this week because of a shoulder injury.
Tano Passanio is going to play, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. There you go.
So we all know what this team, what the Saints are and what they're dealing with. The best part about what I just went through, some of Josh Kendall's recent article that he posted on The Athletic, and the best thing I read in it, other than some numbers that look cool, really cool for the Falcons, and might have my guy to the left giddy about the sack percentage the team's given up this year, is that leaders on this football team know what it's like to either face or be on a team that has just fired their head coach midseason. And they understand what the interim coach bump or jolt, whatever terminology you want to use, is. And that it's real. It's real, at least for one game. At least that first game, it can be a breath of fresh air. It's literally, Grady said that everyone had love for DQ, but when he was fired, he goes, it was a breath of fresh air for us. Because I think it just, that cloud of, if you don't play better, this guy's going to get fired, was gone. And you can kind of, it's got to be a freeing feeling, Mike.
It's kind of messed up.
It is. I know, but you feel the pressure. But you've got to feel the pressure for it, right?
And I think to a bigger extent, and for a guy like Grady, this is true. When it's a guy that drafted you, it's even a bigger deal because you're like, that guy believed in me. I want to make sure I go to battle for that guy. And so I think for guys that were drafted by that coaching regime, it's a bigger deal, or that were signed in free agency the way a guy like Derek Carr might have been.
Yeah, and and Kirk Cousins talked with them about, hey, I remember we played the Atlanta when they fired DQ. The next game, they beat the crap out of us. Yeah, I threw a pick in the first play of the game, and they never turned back. They beat us walking away, so we know it's real. So they understand what it is that they're about to go into and face. And if you have your leaders know that, there shouldn't be let down. And it brings me to the thing that I don't think anyone has talked about in this entire media market. We have went with this team from having to come back to win games and winning games closely with a last-minute touchdown or field goal to being up double digits in the fourth quarter and just doing enough to finish the game. And I think it's and I mention it because Grady talked about, he goes, we've only lost games this year because we haven't executed well. We don't think we've ever been overmatched in any game this year.
That's a big statement.
And when you start to think about it, as the season's gone on, the execution has gotten better. You still have flaws. There's no doubting that. But if you continue to execute better, why can't this be the game that you go in there and you walk away from and you don't look back?
Yeah, and the NFL is so crazy. You guys have been around it for a long time to where you get to a certain point and you look back on your – and we almost fall in the trap of looking back on the losses and saying, man, they could have just got Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh hit 6 field goals. They could have just got Pittsburgh. Or if we'd have gotten the pass interference against the Chiefs. And sometimes you forget the – hey, we scored a last-second, you know, touchdown against Tampa and sent that one overtime, and we scored at the end of the game against Philly, and we're able to pull that one off, and it kind of goes hand-in-hand. But I kind of like the direction you're going because we did 3 weeks ago play the Seattle Seahawks, and we went into this game with them losing 3 straight and almost kind of expected to win, and then you get hit in the mouth, and you're like, wow, that wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be, and you kind of settle back into the trenches and go, all right, got to get back to work. And that's exactly what this team has done over the last couple of weeks and have had a couple of resounding victories that have been nice to follow.
Well, let's hear from the Atlanta QB, Kirk Cousins, on what we can expect this weekend. He joined Dave Archer in this interview brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. We will have that up for you momentarily.
I'm sure it's riveting because Arch does a really good job with these interviews.
Arch always does a really good job.
I do. Like, I think Arch has such an interesting perspective when it comes to conversations with Kirk Cousins because obviously they fit in that same kind of quarterback boat. And I think Arch realizes a lot about this franchise and the exact questions to ask a guy like Kirk Cousins going into some of these games.
Well, let's get to that interview brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta.
The chance to catch up with Kirk Cousins now here before this New Orleans game. Kirk challenges, you've seen Tampa twice, actually handled that extremely well. This was a New Orleans team that gave you guys a bit of a problem in week 4. Tell me about what's different about going into the second game.
Well, it's a better football team than their record. They did give us a challenge. We didn't score an offensive touchdown in the game we played them. I think they do a great job mixing up their coverages. They also were missing really the heart and soul of their defense, DeMario Davis, the last time he played them. He's back. So it'll be a good challenge for us. And then anytime you go into the Superdome, you understand just the added challenge being in a hostile place, a noisy place. So for so many reasons, we've got to play our best football to have a chance to win.
You've played in a number of rivalry games, both in college but also in the National Football League in your career. This is one of those more heated rivalries between two teams. How much does that play into it, or do you have to push that out of your mind?
Well, you felt it when we played at home here in Atlanta, and you'll feel it again, I think, in New Orleans, although this time the wind's not at your back in that case. But all the more reason to want to get on the plane and fly home and be able to provide your fan base with a win against a rival. So the all-time series before this season was completely even. And then we were able to go one up. And we'd love nothing more than to be able to go two up and not get it back to even.
I know how much you've enjoyed having some running attack. This team limited your running attack last time. How important is that in this game?
I think anytime you go on the road, if you can run the football, it just takes a lot of pressure off of your team, off of your offense. Time of possession, running the football helps our defense so much. So, I can't say enough about how when we can run the football, the way it raises our ceiling as an offense and as a football team. And like every game, I think we'll commit to trying to establish that throughout the game.
Okay, last thing for you. There's a little bit of desperate feel to them. It felt like you had kind of that desperate feel last week against Dallas. Is there something dangerous about that, unscouted things?
I think the key, Arch, is anytime a coach is replaced, the team in my history tends to lock it in, and you're going to get their best effort. I think also you mentioned that desperation, the sense of urgency. It's always there in this league, but I think the Saints will play with that on Sunday. So I just see it as we've got to be, for so many reasons, on our preparation, on the details, and playing at our best level. Otherwise, we're going to be disappointed with the results. So just that sense of urgency has to show up all week long and as we get to the stadium on Sunday.
As always, thanks for your time. Go get you another one.
Thanks, Arch. Dude.
Look at
come on.
Cousins knowing the history of this rivalry. Do the players get the game notes packets that we get sent out?
It seems
out
like
media?
Something Raheem would do. It seems like a slideshow that Reem would put together.
This is where we rank in all-time matchups against these guys.
It's funny, Tip, because I go back and forth. I'm like, this seems like something Reem would have, maybe a slideshow, just so everybody knows of, you know, the history of this rivalry. It also seems like something Kirk Cousins would have looked up on his own.
That's what
like,
I was going to say.
You're like, you know what? Like, he probably dove in.
Google
this. Like, let me check out the Wikipedia page on the old Falcons-Saints rivalry.
Well, if we want to talk rivalry, I'm all for it with this team. I have a hatred like no other. I've seen them.
Deep.
I've seen them try to embarrass us every halftime show, and that's an organization thing, okay? When you do a halftime show, that is not some rogue employee. It happens every year. Like the year after we lost Super Bowl, they tried to do this whole thing where their whole halftime show was a 28-3 display. They're trash, their organization is, and it goes back to the fact that I remember – I think it was week two or three, and I was me and Sprinkles were on a weekend walk, and I was listening to Fricky on the weekends, and some Saints fan called in and told John that he needed to respect his organization, and I was texting with John, and I said, tell him we'll respect his organization when they're not trash, and
when they don't respect us,
and they don't come at trash with us and show us some freaking respect, because it goes both ways. That said, this is going to be a tough game. And we cannot overlook it. We have to come in there and want to. This is the ultimate put your foot on your opponent's throat and stomp with all of your might, because they will not go away.
It's been a hate-fueled speech.
This is one of those times where I side with Bo in these kind of conversations, Tiff. I gotta tell you, it's I feel very similarly, because I've been in that building when our organization has been disrespected. The Drew Brees game, the Sean Payton. Like it, there
last
is a,
year alone.
Yeah,
there don't is forget.
I have never seen red the way I did just in this role in sports media the way I did after that game last year when they took it upon themselves to put a touchdown in on a fake quarterback kneel. I have never seen anything like that, and I hope I never see it again. And the fact that it came from the Saints in a situation like it did, when you probably knew the Falcons coach was headed out the door. It was like, I'm going to kick him when he's down kind of thing. And I know that Dennis Allen came out later and apologized and all the above. And my hat's off to him. And that's one of the reasons I haven't really dug in this week, because, you know, after he's lost his job, because he was like, he made it very clear. He's like, I don't blame Arthur Smith for being beside himself. I've seen it time and time again that's an organization that doesn't mind going there. And that's one of the things that makes a rivalry great. But on the other hand, I'm not going to be apologetic for how I feel about them, and I don't think they should be apologetic for how they feel about us, and that's just the way it is in these rivalries.
And I heard tickets are kind of cheap down there right now, and I'm not just making it up. I've heard that they've dropped quite a considerable amount. Hey, if you find me anywhere in New Orleans and you came down to that game, I'll buy you the cheapest beer that's on tap, but I'll buy it for you.
What's the New Orleans version of Natty Light?
Go fill that house. Go fill it. Let's fill the Superdome, and let's make it loud for them.
Let's
take away their home field advantage, because their fan base is going to show up for this game. Let's change the narrative. Mm. Let's go down there and absolutely destroy them. Don't forget, Dennis Allen might be gone, and he might not have been responsible. Jameis Winston might be gone, and he was responsible for a lot of that. But a lot of those players were also responsible for that. A lot of those coaches were responsible for that. I mean, I don't like to use the word embarrass your opponent, but if we can embarrass an opponent, this is the one to embarrass.
I'll tell you who wasn't apologetic was Mr. Rizzi, who's the interim head coach. So there you go. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.